Nora, fast mover, please have a seat right there.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome back. It is, of course, Thursday, February 3rd, 2022, and we are doing yet another edition of The Very Interesting Show. And I hate to do this because it seems like I've been doing this quite a lot recently, but I would like to start off the show tonight with a formal apology.
Oh.
I took the week off of doing a Simulation Radio Live this week, and I've talked about a lot, especially in particular last week, about how like this is one of the least stressed out points in my life that I've ever been at least in the current times. But at the same time, I don't know, I had something wash over me this week, and yeah. I think it washed over a lot of other people too this week, Johnny Horndog. Now, I don't know if it was the nature of the news stories that came out this week, but I had just a very large bout of, I just don't give a fuck, man. I don't care about any of this news that's coming out this week. It was all just ridiculously divisive between like the Joe Rogan and Neil Young thing towards the beginning of the week, Whoopi Goldberg getting canceled from The View, which, you know, proves exactly how hypocritical people on the right can be, because these same people are, you know, on Joe Rogan's side, calling Neil Young a shitty artist and all the vile spewing garbage like that. And these same people are all cheering on Whoopi Goldberg getting just absolutely obliterated from The View when they don't realize that, you know, do you not see how fucking hypocritical you fucking NPCs are? Like, I don't know, man. I couldn't do it this week. I couldn't do it. Could not fucking do it this week. I just did not care. I had a large bout of news fatigue, and you know, I sometimes, you know, I had to, you have to like take a step back and realize, you know, this part of the narrative is just, I just don't give a fuck, man. Don't give a single iota of a fuck this week. But you know, I'll put on the face, put on the happy face, and we'll be back next week. But you know, I needed a week to recharge. But we have a stand-in tonight. Justin is on his way to the show, but I took the liberty of preparing somebody in or for when he would be getting here. Now, you might see him on the camera over there. It is he's very lifelike. I would not be surprised if he had said a couple of words now or you know, whenever, by the time. Unfortunately, when Justin gets here, he might have to play fourth banana to the paper cutout. I really anticipate that his contribution to the show will be fantastic and very, very lifelike and quite animated. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
So Paper Justin, don't say anything if you think that the whole cancel culture shit is bullshit.
Anything?
No. Well, no. There you have it, folks. Yeah, we all know Paper Justin's opinions. And we're glad to have him as a guest host on tonight's show.
I agree. I very much look forward to hearing what Paper Justin has to say, at least in the time being. Now, by the way, our landlord, she was supposed to come by tonight. Did she ever end up coming by? I don't really think so. And the only reason that I bring that to the show is because I have a funny feeling. I have a bad situation or like this bad premonition in my mind that like maybe a couple minutes into the show or halfway through the show we'll hear the voice downstairs like, hello, is anybody here? And we're sitting here, the only people in the house that could go and meet her at this point now.
Yeah.
Because I assume that Ryan Sequest is wrapped up in a very, very intense game of Fortnite that I doubt could be disturbed
right
at all. So it seems like all four of us that are here are just heavily wrapped up in things. And so I only bring that up because I really just see this world where we're like 15 minutes into the show, maybe. I'll even put an exact time number on it. I'll put an exact time description on it. I'll say like, you know, 16 minutes and 4 seconds into the show. I'll I'll put that down. Specific. Yeah, I'll put 1604 down as my official prediction. But I can feel a world where, you know, we just hear the voice from downstairs. Hello, is anybody here? I'm here to pick up our rent for this month, which we randomly went back to doing cash for some reason.
Yeah, all we need to do to fix that is just claim that we have COVID, and then suddenly for months we won't have to pay cash. See, I hate kind of going to the ATM, driving out, trying to find one that doesn't charge me ATM fees just to pay cash. So I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it. I tried to even send my money a week early. I asked her, I said, hey, can I Zelle you the money now? This was a week prior to the first, and I didn't hear anything back. So, I mean, I guess we'll see. Maybe it'll create for some interesting interruption content. I don't know.
Yeah, I took a walk during my lunch break down to the Chase branch that we have down the street, mm-hmm. which I'm very lucky is a little bit closer than it used to be, because it used to be in this in the Walmart Plaza, which is a lot farther down the road. So it took me a good solid 25-minute walk there, 25-minute walk back. It was nice to get out of the house, because this is the only time this week that I've gotten out of the house, like, at all, and in any sort of capacity, except for on Monday when we went to Miller's Ale House because Justin went to go pick up his rental car from Turo, which we've talked about and some funny stories on the show before. But that was the only other time that I've gotten out of the house this week. And honestly, I kind of would have rather sat here and just pressed the Zelle button, maybe logged into Zelle and did the whole thing. Oh, so which one of us is going to have to lie next month about having COVID?
We'll take turns. We'll rotate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just I'll take the fall next month, and then we'll just kind of go from there, see who else is game.
We'll have a rotating cycle. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Last time it was a collective effort amongst all of us, but, you know, this time, I think every time maybe we could do a collective effort between all of us, because after all, since we've lived together, I mean, once one of us gets it, I'm pretty sure that just means that everybody has it, right?
Like, yeah, no, absolutely. Sure, you got to, like, have the... What is that? The yellow caution tape outside of the house. Just tape it off. This is a biohazard.
Yeah.
Make sure we get our, what are those suits? Like hazmat suits ready.
Yeah, hazmat suits.
And yeah, so we'll have those prepared for when she thinks it's strange that not all of us have COVID all at one time.
Order our government masks that'll come in four to 6 weeks, which we'll definitely have them by the time we need them. Yeah. Same with the at-home tests. Like, I cover this on Simulation Radio Live, but if you went to that website, you might be starting to get your at-home COVID tests and masks by now. And this was 4 weeks ago that we covered this when the website went live. But yeah, we'll have to figure something else out to where we can just press that Zelle button next month, because it seems a little archaic, right? I feel like I'm on social media enough to see all of the memes where people are sending their rent through apps like Venmo and Zelle and all that kind of stuff. Maybe are we just in the dark ages? Is that how this is working? Like, we're still using cash?
I feel like there might be some like tax implications to it. So to kind of keep the man out of it, maybe cash is the reason for the preferred method that way. There's also some limitations to the amount that you can transfer at one time. But regardless of all those things, I feel like it's archaic. And I hate having to make a special trip to the ATM just to pull out cash and hope that something doesn't happen to my cash magically. I don't know. Maybe I'm just I always think in the worst case.
Yeah, like a worst case scenario type
just
mindset.
Leaving my money out somewhere for her to pick up. There was one time where she messages me or calls me. It's like, hey, you're short. I'm like, well, no, I wasn't. I pulled out the exact amount, put it right where it was.
It's right there.
Turns out it was like a, you know, little mishap, little miscommunication as to whose rent was whose. So I actually wasn't missing the money, but I was furious for a while just saying like, well, that sounds like your problem and not mine, because I pulled out the exact amount of money you asked me to have. I put it where you told me to put it, and I don't know what to tell you. You got to figure this out. If I'm short, you're going to front the difference, because I'm not paying you a single fucking dollar more.
Does a situation like that where somebody like maybe, I don't want to say comes at you specifically, but when somebody brings, I don't know if this is a specific integrity issue, but when somebody brings that into question, or especially in a situation that could be easily avoided, is this the type of thing that like really pushes your patience buttons, like mix-ups like this, or things that could easily be avoided? Or, you know, maybe it is a situation where maybe in the back there's a little connotation of moral implication. Like when somebody sort of fucks with you like that? Is that like a big, big button pusher? Is that a thing that'll set you off like more so than most things?
I'd say it's definitely a trigger where if there is another way to do it, there's an easier way to do it. It would be more convenient for literally everybody except for maybe the landlord who might have to pay taxes on the money that we give him, which it is income. But, you know, I'm all for dodging taxes and all that. But if it's at the expense of my own convenience and then I also might have to pony up more money because of the method that you suggested isn't working or something happened along the way, That's what really triggered me in that moment, I feel like.
So it's mostly the fact that you thought in that situation that you could have had to pay more money because of this mix-up that could have, you know, just as easily been avoided.
Just think about a moment where, say you were working with a company, maybe, let's just call it, just for the sake of argument, it was a property management company, you're renting from a place, and they tell you to do these exact steps to pay them. You follow said steps, and then there's still a problem on their end, but you know morally that that you followed every step, that you have the integrity. Now it's a game of like he said, she said, oh, he didn't give me enough money. Oh, well, I definitely did. You fucked up in some way down the line. And at that point, who are you going to believe? And then that's where it's kind of frustrating because how am I going to prove that I didn't just take a couple extra 20s and put them in my wallet? You know what I mean?
That reminds me, when I worked at the property management company, real estate company last year, by the way, this story is going to be very, very implicating. So I'm very fortunate that I have not, nor will I say their name on the air because this is bad. Now, there was a situation.
It's illegal shit? Are you going to get whacked?
I don't know, man. Maybe the fucking real estate mafia might just come in and take care of business. But at the same time, I am hoping that the repercussions of this won't ever come back to me. But last year when I was working at the real estate company, we had a situation that I felt so bad. And this happened like 4 times. Mm. Now, there was a time where they had this Dropbox at the front of their office where tenants were supposed to come in, just drop in their rent checks, and it's only can be a check, cannot be cash, cannot be anything like that, has to be a specific thing like a check or a money order. And that thing got broken into like 3 times that box got broken into before they finally figured out like, okay, we can't do this anymore. They have to come into the office or send it online through the portal. And there were situations, and I am so fortunate because I don't know how I would have dealt with this, but a couple of my coworkers and my friends that one of them I still talk to today, were in where they had a tenant that, and you might know where this story could be going, where they put their rent check inside the box and that box gets completely stolen and the check gets cashed. And now that person is out however much their rent is. And our company, the company that rented out all of these properties, still wanted the money. They still wanted more money, even though it was at their office that they got the box broken into. And, you know, when my coworker started to go to the boss and kind of be like, oh, how can I even fucking do this? Nobody had an answer. Nobody had an answer. You just had to keep pressing them. And you kind of had to tell them, like, I don't know what to do here, but we kind of still need the money. And that is such an impossible situation. And I have zero idea how I would have handled that. But at the same time, if you're a tenant in that situation, you're just fucked, right? That is so, I don't know. That just does not seem like the right way to go about things. And there's almost no solution there. Like, what even can you do besides maybe collect rent in a better way or figure it out the first time after the box gets broken into instead of put the box back out 2 more times after that? But I don't know. That might be one of the explanations for why the coworker that I talked to does not also work there anymore.
I wouldn't blame them. They'd have to deal with that shit over and over and over again. Nah, I'm good.
There were not a lot of situations that I felt bad for tenants, but that is certainly one of them. That is one of those situations where, you know, I felt so damn bad for these tenants who, in one case, was out like $2,000. She paid $2,000 some idiot just breaks into it, cashes the $2,000, and now she's short $2,000. And these are people that live like paycheck to paycheck. I imagine if, you know, the money that I paid for rent this month, if that just happened to get incinerated in a burst of flames, I'd be fucked. And so I really, really feel for some of these people. And so to get the rent that we had to pay today, which we're nearing 16 minutes and 4 seconds into the show, so our prediction might be, shit, I might have been off on this prediction. But I have a question, first of all, that I want to pose to my delivery driver friends out there, because I know that there are still quite a lot of you that listen to the show. I know the show has a very heavy delivery driver demographic still at this point, at least from the podcast numbers. And I have a question for you if you are listening to the podcast, which, you know, by the way, if you're listening to the podcast, you can indeed listen to the show live. It is on every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook. It is at Simulation Radio on all of those things. And the question that I pose to you guys and gals out there is, do you hate delivery drivers from other companies? Because I can't imagine a world where you just identify with and you make the company that you work for a part of your identity. And the reason that I bring this up is because on the way back from walking home from Chase, I see our, actually, no, it wasn't our mail person. It was somebody from a different route. I had walked to a different route at that point. But I see our mail person stopped at the set of boxes, putting the mail in, and a UPS driver drives by and like makes a really obnoxious honk and like yells at this person and says something about UPS. And I'm like, what kind of fucking human being like is that proud of being a UPS driver to where they're going around harassing other delivery drivers? Like, are you driving up to the FedEx truck and like slashing their tires or what the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm imagining a scenario kind of like an Anchorman where all the different news anchors from the different organizations meet up in an alley and there's this huge like gang fight almost.
Yeah.
Where people are sabotaging the other vehicles, stealing packages. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just kind of like just all out anarchy. And I feel like this might be a almost, you actually saw that happen. You saw somebody say like, yo, UPS sucks or whatever when a FedEx driver drove by.
No, it was the UPS driver driving by and like honked their horn and yelled out some shit. My headphones were in, so I didn't hear the full thing. It had UPS in what he was yelling though. As he was driving by, the USPS person that was standing there putting like mail in the mailboxes, the real mailmen.
Isn't that such a case.
So juvenile, man.
I want to almost draw a correlation to the way that people who have differing opinions or differing thoughts might treat each other. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, that male person goes through more or less the same shit that the other male person goes through. And yet we decided that we want to create strife between two different male people when they really have a similar struggle.
Because of the tribe that they're in or the identity that they belong to. And it's like, get a fucking grip on your life, man. Like, what is wrong with you? And so I really want to ask my delivery driver friends out there, and especially particularly the postmen that are still out there listening, do you feel that way about other drivers from other companies? Because I can't imagine at least any of the people that I knew and talked to at the post office, like, we fucking hated the post office, man. Like, we did not identify as part of that tribe. And in fact, when at least me personally, and again, I'm speaking anecdotally here, which is why I want to know you guys is experiences. It's been a tough week. But when I would interact with like maybe the UPS guy or a FedEx guy or an Amazon delivery driver, we would each give each other like, you know, a friendly nod like, hey, how you doing? Sorry you're in this situation. Hey, you too, man. Doesn't life suck? Yeah, it sure does, man. And that's kind of how it was. And I really just can't imagine how fucking insane in the head you must be, or just how much of a fucking tribalist NPC sheep you must be to make the fucking company that you work for a part of your core identity. I just can't imagine that. And to the delivery driving industry's credit, I also can't imagine that those people that are just very passionate about who they work for are any bit in the majority at all. I feel like those people are probably outcasts and lepers and they
wow.
Look, I'm feeling really hateful today. I don't know what it is, but this whole week I've been feeling like hateful as fuck. And so I'm sorry, people that are tribalist NPC delivery driver company drivers, but you so happen to get the wrath today.
If you do feel that way though, and you're listening to this, why do you feel that way?
That's another thing that I'm curious about too. Like, is it really just that you feel like the company that you've put your heart and soul into just now becomes your identity? Is it like what's that sunk cost fallacy? Is it a little bit of that, where you've put so much effort, so much of your time, you've given so much of your life to this company that you feel like you have to be a part of it, like you have to integrate it into your core identity? Because on that token, I know that I just spent the last 5 minutes like lighting a direct fucking fire on your whole life, but I'm also a little bit curious, because if it's from that angle, then I can understand it just a little bit, just so slightly. But at the same time, go fucking be nice to the other delivery driver people. They're doing the same shit as you. Their life sucks just as much as yours does, especially if you're fucking 60 years old, still delivery drivering and making, I mean, you're still probably making okay money, but you know, that if that's your only metric of success in life is how much money you're making, then that's already a whole nother problem. That's for like that could be a whole hour long fucking podcast, but I don't even want to get into that. Jesus. So let me know what you think. I want to hear your experiences out there if you are a delivery driver, and I want to hear about your interactions with other delivery drivers. Be sure to leave a comment in the YouTube video, or make sure, let's get this straight here, and be sure to follow at Simulation Radio on all the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I've decided I'm going to go back to concentrating on Facebook a little bit too. I'll add it into the rotation of stuff that I usually do, because it turns out that all the things that I'm posting can just be easily cross-posted to Facebook. Yeah. And you know, if something so happens to work better on there, then sure. One of the things that I've found, by the way, before we take a quick break here, one of the things that I found that works better on Facebook than Instagram and Twitter are the daily news videos that I would post. Oh, like those videos do much, much better on Facebook. They get much more interaction. I'm able to talk to people on some of the comment threads for those daily videos too. Well, not daily, but daily as in days that we don't really do a show. But so that's probably a reason that I'll keep going with Facebook, at least, is because I'm seeing what works where, and it turns out that daily videos are the better place Facebook is the better place for those.
I can almost see that, especially being the news kind of niche. You see a lot of like breaking news and things popping up through Facebook. And I could almost see how that demographic might differentiate itself in that manner. And thanks to all my friends and family. I sent like a huge blast. I harassed everybody who was on my friends list. I probably, I don't know, what would you say, like 20 people, 25 people liked the post from my enormous bombing of our channel. So thank you guys for following, and
be sure to continue to follow for daily news videos such as those every day. And we're going to continue to stream all the radio shows there as well, and you know, also some funny content and occasional shit posting, which one of the things, I got the greatest idea the other day, and I'm gonna start doing this every day, and it reminds you, it brings me back to the old high school days, where one of the assignments that I remember in high school the most dreaded assignment that I ever had was I had to go out and buy a copy of Frankenstein, and keep in mind we had like 2 months to do this, and I chose to do it on the very final night.
Naturally, as
everybody else did, in a fucking AIM chat with everybody else in the class being like, oh, what did you put on this page? And what we had to do was we had to annotate the book. We had to like make notes in it, and that was an actual assignment. And then the day that it was due, we handed in the books. The teacher would grade us on the quality of our notes and like the notes that we were taking. And the pain of doing that inspired a new daily thing that you're going to be seeing on the Simulation Radio Instagram and Facebook, and I'll probably post it on Twitter too. But Stories Explained by Microsoft Paint. And I don't know if anybody that's listening has seen any of those yet, but I did one today too. And I'm going to do these every day, I think, because they're fun. Where what I'll do is I'll take a nice little screenshot of a story and I'll get my red paint marker and I will annotate the fuck out of that story. And, you know, instead of taking real notes and being serious about it, it's more funny. It's like a funny comment type stuff. And seeing a news story like marked up in red and having stuff crossed out and like underlined and having a sarcastic, stupid little comment next to it, it reminds you of the days where you're getting like an essay back or you're getting like a paper back that you wrote in school with the teacher's scratch on it. And I'm not going to lie to you, 99 out of 100 of the stories explained in Microsoft Paint will probably be in the D+ to maybe C- grading scale here. But, you know, because they're not serious. And I don't know, man. I'm having a lot of fun with that. So I'm probably going to continue to do that every day. So be sure to follow at Simulation Radio on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And I guess the dreaded one, too. The dreaded one, too. That one. Tick. Talk. Tick.
Your favorite
talk. speaking of which, when we come back from break, we have another new viral TikTok trend that I may or may not spend 10 minutes just fucking ripping into because of how stupid it is and how degrading it is to the people that are subject to this. Plus, I want to talk a little bit and I want to show a couple of videos of what I'm talking about. But this whole, I think it's been like this the whole time, but I'm just starting to notice it because I watched more football this season.
Yeah.
But the football commercials, particularly for like food and fast food, have become so goddamn egregious and so like consumerist. And, you know, occasionally you gotta put a finger on the pulse of like what people are watching and what people are paying attention to. And, you know, it almost makes me feel like society is lost seeing some of these commercials. But we're gonna take a look at some of the cringiest, not just Super Bowl commercials, but commercials that I've seen recently that are just absolutely insane and completely and 100% explain why we're in such a consumerist culture and how stupid it is. Plus, what better way to capture the essence of this consumerism than a contest that Hormel is holding with their chili? And you are going to get some information about this, including if you want to enter, which, you know, as consumerist as this is, I might be entering this contest as well. Get the details on this Hormel chili contest for the Super Bowl that's coming up soon. And I think we could potentially call it You Rage, You Lose. We'll gather all that stuff up and we will close out the show with Reach for the Sky when we come back.
Simulation Radio.
I think it was always like this, but it also might just be more annoying because I'm paying attention now. And again, we talked about this a little bit before the break, but some of these commercials that have been going around lately, particularly on Twitch, because I watch a lot of Twitch and a lot of I listen to music through YouTube mostly, and some of the ads that I have been getting not just lately, but, you know, just about all the time, but I'm really just noticing it now. Again, it's really short on patience today, really pissed off, so maybe today is just the day to fucking smack him into submission. But some of these ads that have been going on are ridiculously annoying and super egregious, and I think that consumerism has been around, like, since the beginning and the dawn of time, but some of the ones that we've been getting this year in particular have just been extra annoying. And there's this one, first of all, we'll start off with this, and we'll just might as well just jump right into You Rage, You Lose, because I'm gonna lose my shit at some of these. And first of all, I have this playlist here that is a precursor. It's like a preview to some of the ads for Super Bowl LVI. It is coming up. Not this weekend. This weekend's the Pro Bowl, which nobody cares about. But next weekend, does anybody actually care about the Pro Bowl? I don't think so. But some of these advertisements, including some that have the likes of Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, the sports broadcasters from the analyst desk on all of the networks, and I don't know, man. I want to know your opinion on this, everybody, because I think I'm going to be in the minority on thinking this is cringe and thinking that this is not just, you know, standard advertisement that comes around all the time. This is just how it is. But again, I want to get your opinion on this because I happen to think that this is just absolutely insane. It's from Pepsi. It's called Road to Super Bowl LVI. And I'm going to put it on the screen so that you guys can make a judgment here. You guys listening and you, Johnny Horndog. Because it seems like Justin being here has been a lost cause, which thank you for your contribution, Justin Cutout, by the way. It's been much appreciated, and I'm glad that you were here tonight. But this is called Road to Super Bowl LVI from Pepsi, and there's something about this, and I've really seen this one. Seen it?
Yep.
I think I'm going to be in the minority and thinking that this is cringe and stupid, and again, let me know what you think. You guys might just think, this is just standard football advertising, but something about this just really set me off. In fact, the only reason that we're even talking about it is because I remember being, like, extra pissed off when watching this commercial and thinking, what the fuck am I watching? So here's Peyton Manning and Eli Manning in this Pepsi commercial, which also happens to have Doritos and Lay's and Tostitos. Classic football. Just shovel all the shit in your face.
All the consumerism.
Playoff time, baby. Games, snacks, drinks. I mean, what else can you ask for, bro? Really?
Hey, pass me a Pepsi.
All right. No, look. All right. It didn't take very long to rage. So,
snacks, drinks. I mean, what else can you ask for?
All right. Let's go back to pass me the Pepsi. All right, look at all this fucking product placement in this commercial. Oh, look at all these things that all these fucking idiots are shoving into their gullets. We got Pepsi, Pepsi Zero, Mountain Dew, Bubbly, which I'm assuming are all Pepsi products.
Oh, yeah.
I knew Mountain Dew is, but Bubbly I did not know was a Pepsi product, interestingly enough. Gotta get those perfectly corporate placements right in there to satisfy their fucking corporate quota.
All right, especially after he cracks it open, the logo is perfectly facing out.
I mean, can you drink any louder? That's how I drink.
Oh, what a classic
loud, like
bit.
I drink loud. I like to enjoy it. Toss
you know what, Cameron? That's how you drink every time. You just have that little
I know.
While you're drinking, you got the...
Well, yeah. Look, you got to drink hard and fast. That's just how it goes. You got to drink passionately or don't drink at all. You just got to really get into it. You just got to. So Eli Manning is perfectly capturing this feeling. But here comes Peyton Manning, of course, having to one up him with the Lay's potato chips.
Did you eat any louder?
It's normal to eat loud. Drinking loud makes no sense. Peyton, Eli, road trip to the Super Bowl. Hard pass.
All right.
Playoffs are on. You're paying for that door, by the way. And the bus. Ah. The bus has got a bus. Let's
hilarious bit.
Can we go see the bus?
What up, Eli?
Mr. Cruz, I miss you, buddy.
Why does he have a Pepsi in his hand? What?
Why wouldn't he? One does not simply set down a Pepsi.
No, no. Look, when I drink a Pepsi, I slam that fucking thing into like two gulps. It's a problem. This is why I don't drink Pepsi anymore, because I open up a can of Pepsi, or, you know, at least drink Pepsi out of a can, especially regular Pepsi, because it's so damn good.
You get the like the flavor of the can. It tastes different, doesn't it?
It does. It kind of does. Mm. I hate your commercial, but it's a fantastic drink. But I'll slam a Pepsi in, literally two gulps.
So are you team Pepsi over team Coke?
Hell yeah. Okay. We're full Pepsi all the way.
Miss you too, man. Super Bowl, baby. Let's go.
We're not going. I'm going to get more chips and drinks. Do not leave this room.
Going to get more products to shove in my fucking face rather than go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, Peyton, that's what everybody's thinking.
I got you.
Whoa. Super Bowl, here we go.
Are you kidding me?
Technically, I didn't leave the room.
I'm calling mom.
Hilarious.
How much longer? You drive weird.
Bus, are we there yet?
No.
Hey, Bus, we got to pull over for some more chips and drinks.
Oh, you got it.
Hey, guys, look who I found.
Bradshaw?
Hey, guys.
Look at that. That's classic fucking Super Bowl consumer right here. Look at Terry Bradshaw. He's got a fucking bag of Doritos, 12-pack of Mountain Dew in his hand. Like Terry Bradshaw has gone full gamer here in the way that he's consuming these products. And
they're holding it perfectly so that the logos show.
I know.
And I love how the bags are already open. Like, he just could not wait. As he's checking out, he's like, I'm feeling a little snacky. I'm going to pay for this, but I'm going to have a couple while I'm in line.
Yeah, of course. Because that's what any true Super Bowl fan or gamer would do.
Naturally,
of course.
Got room for one more? Got Doritos? Got Mountain Dew?
Of course you do!
Do we really want to bring them? It might start to feel crowded. I mean, maybe if you had a little...
Oh, please don't.
You know, you...
Don't say it.
Salsa.
I love me some salsa.
All right, I got it.
They're in a huddle. You're not supposed to be able to hear that, Terry Bradshaw. You're really ruining the football immersion here. It's not working out.
Idea. We got one seat left. And it's special just for you.
Let's do it! This is like a convertible! It's up a whole lot better!
The chips just magically don't fly away.
I know. Right. Of course. Generic pop song that they have to throw in there for consumer value.
The song.
Look, what happens to Terry Bradshaw here is what should happen to everybody that drinks Doritos and or that drinks Doritos, that eats Doritos and drinks Mountain Dew at the same time while watching football. If you've seen the fucking fat American consumerist memes of the big old fat American sitting there on his TV watching football and like crumbs fucking falling on his giant gut, and this is what you've decided to do on your Super Bowl Sunday, make some damn good food. There's a lot of really, really banging good Super Bowl stuff that you can make that does not involve Doritos or Mountain Dew. Do better, people.
Or it could involve Doritos. Do you ever have like chili mix? You put them in the bag with Doritos and suddenly you have like a bagged kind of taco?
I swear to God, my dad made this growing up, and knowing what I know today, he was probably stoned out of his fucking mind when he came up with this idea. But the snack Cheez-Its, it's one of my favorite snacks of all time. And my dad got this idea one day to crush up a whole bunch of Cheez-Its and use that and flour as like the batter for chicken tenders. Mm-hmm. And he would call it a Cheez-It chicken. And of course, my mom enjoyed the shit out of it too, because she loves Cheez-Its and she was also stoned as fuck at the
time. Right, naturally.
As I've come to know in my adult age. But that was one of my favorite meals growing up, man. And that kind of thing, I imagine you could probably do with Doritos too.
Easily.
In fact, TikTok video, Dorito chicken tenders.
That's right. Why not? Let's run it. We'll do some recipes, some product placement recipes.
Oh yeah. And Doritos chicken tenders. All right. It is on the record. It is officially written down. And speaking of which, while we're on the topic of chili, I want to talk about this Hormel chili cheese keg. And it's a contest. Yes, the chili cheese keg. We're going to watch this video in just a moment. But if you would like to be a part of this, Hormel has announced it will give away a chili cheese keg to one lucky fan as part of their Pour On marketing campaign. And this chili cheese keg looks absolutely ridiculous, by the way. But if you want to register for it, and I might just head over on to this website as well, you got to do it by the 6th. So today is the 3rd. You've got to do it by the end of Sunday. Otherwise, you're not going to get it in time, because Hormel is going to deliver this keg to the contest winner in time for the Super Bowl on Sunday, next Sunday, February 3rd. So you got to get your registrations in now, folks. And if you want to do that, you have to go to HormelChiliCheeseKeg.com and look, tap into greatness. That's look at this fucking keg.
Is it like
right
a
here.
Giant kind of, you know, those like cheese dispensers you get from nachos at the movie theater? Is that kind of like just a chili dispenser?
That's exactly what it is. And the first question that I have here before we watch this video is, what the hell? There's no way even a massive, massive Super Bowl party is going to finish this entire keg, unless it's our Super Bowl party, in which case we would find a way. But what are you going to do with this keg after it's done? Like, you're going to have to dump all the chili out of this keg, man, because imagine in like 10 years you come across this novelty Hormel chili cheese keg.
It's still good too. Like, the food, it's not rotted.
It's like a fucking McDonald's burger.
Exactly.
So here's the launch video of this chili cheese keg, and I'll play this for you guys here so that we can check this out.
It was,
and it's really not going to let me full screen the video.
Was,
thank you.
Could we? One can, over 1,000 servings, 10,000% of your daily recommended yum.
1,000 servings, my God! Oh, this looks so damn delicious. Look at this fucking chili cheese.
I'm
just
oozing.
I know, I am too. I can't though. I've already eaten my daily calories for the day.
Introducing the greatest appetizer ever made of all time, the Hormel Chili Cheese Keg. Tap into greatness. Enter for your chance to win at Hormel Chili Cheese.
What better way to pair football consumerism with a giant fucking Hormel Chili Cheese Keg? Those two things just go hand in hand. So Justin has arrived to the show, and I would like to introduce you to stand-in paper Justin. He has taken your place for the time being, and yeah, you sound like you're surprised by stand-in Justin.
Stand-in paper Justin looks surprised too to see real Justin.
He does.
There he is. Okay, we just turned the cameras on, so you can see Justin now. He's now taking the place of Paper Justin.
I figured you'd have my stand-in.
What I did
on
was
part of the conversations the whole time.
Oh, yeah, no, he was. Yeah, he had some insight as to the whole cancel culture.
Let me guess. He was shocked.
He was. Yeah.
I thought you said he was shot at first, and I was like, oh, okay. What I did was I Google searched a picture of the Pikachu surprise meme, and without drawing the ears on it.
That's what I thought. Yeah. As soon as I saw the mouth, that's exactly what I thought of was the Pikachu shocked.
That was the inspiration for that. So if you want to enter the Hormel Chili Cheese Keg competition, then go to HormelChiliCheeseKeg.com. You bet your sweet ass everybody on the show will be going there and registering
Hormel
for that.
Hormel Chili.
Before we move on, all right, get a look at this fucking chili cheese keg. Now, Hormel is offering it.
Oh, let's get one.
You have to sign up for it by the 6th. They will deliver it in time for the Super Bowl. And
let's do it. We're having a party, right?
Oh, yeah.
I would assume so.
How much is it?
It's a contest.
Yep.
It's a one-time thing that they're only giving away to
definitely
winners.
Need to do this.
So we're going to... We're all going to sign up.
I will go and buy the cheapest tortilla chips I can find, and I'm sure if we can bribe somebody outside the local Costco to go inside and get us like 17 big cans of the nacho cheese, style nacho cheese. And we can just have like some shit ass nachos for the entire Super Bowl.
No, look at the way this comes out though, because it shows the cheese being dispensed. There's cheese with it already.
Yeah.
It's chili cheese keg.
Better.
Yeah. All right, check.
I didn't catch the cheese part. All I heard was chili and keg, and I was like, do it.
It's the chili cheese keg, not just the chili keg. Check that out.
Oh, it's pre-mixed. I love it.
Yeah. Look at how big that bad boy is.
The Hormel chili cheese
do it. So do we know the rules for this contest?
How many entries
yet?
Can we have per person?
That is a good question. I've gone to HormelChiliCheesecake.com. All it says is enter now. You have to enter in your name, address, date of birth, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it looks like you can only enter once, so we will all certainly. All
right, so I'm gonna put in my entry in right now.
So birth. Oh, they're gonna sell my information. That's okay. It's worth it for a chili cheese keg.
My information's already been sold. So finally, to close out You Rage, You Lose, I want to talk about the latest viral TikTok trend, because that definitely has not been known to get me quite upset at all.
Not even once.
I'm going to put my birth year is 1908.
Good work. I think that'll work out.
I am over a century old.
There we go. I've been entered for a chance to win.
Congratulations, fellas. So there is a TikTok viral campaign that is going on that is essentially people using their doorbell cameras. Now, we talked about delivery drivers earlier, and I want to know, especially to the delivery drivers that are listening, how you would feel about this, because you guys are the center of attention. Center of attention tonight. And how would you feel?
Aren't we every night?
No, I'm talking to the delivery drivers, you fuck.
Well, aren't they every night?
That's yeah, because
they're real heroes.
They're our biggest demographic. So I want to know how you would feel about, let's say you would walk up to a porch that has a Ring doorbell camera, and unbeknownst to you, there is a sign on this doorbell camera that says, "Please dance, I'm recording a video for TikTok." And there are delivery drivers that feel pressured into doing this out of fear of getting like a bad review or something. And this started...
Hold on, wait. You can review delivery drivers?
On Amazon. At least you can review the delivery itself. And I'm assuming that on some of the other ones, they're threatening...
He didn't dance for my video for the TikTok.
Exactly.
One star.
And so I want to bring to light this viral trend that is going on that started at first with a woman named It's Just Leah on TikTok. And this video went viral with over 3 million views and nearly 700,000 likes. And she put out one of the first videos on this trend that ended up getting trending and making news. She says, "I put a sign asking drivers to dance." And of course, there is a man, an Amazon delivery driver named DJ Eli, who ended up commenting on this post too. It seems like everybody in this specific viral story was okay with it, but this brought attention to all of the other delivery drivers and how this is becoming a trend and how other delivery drivers feel pressured into doing this. And if you're a delivery driver, I'm just gonna real quick before we go over this put myself in the delivery driver's shoes here once again, as if I haven't done this before. But I'm walking up to this house, I see a little sign that says hey, please dance for my TikTok. I am smashing the fuck out of that Ring doorbell camera. Maybe that'll get me a bad review.
Well, that's because okay. we understand your stance on it. So we understand that that's obviously going to be your reaction to it. But I would do it. I'd be down for it. Do it for the vine. Do it for the lulz, man.
Well, the opinion that I'm most interested in are the delivery drivers. So let me know what you guys think. Be sure to leave a comment on the YouTube video or at Simulation Radio on everything. What would your reaction be if you walked up to somebody's house and some bitch was taking videos for her stupid ass TikTok? And here is Exhibit A.
Is it for sure for a chick, or is it for a dude?
Well, in this case, it's just Leah. Is that?
Yeah,
it's like that.
Okay.
It's for that's a TikTok fair. Thought. And
Tick thought.
TikTok. Tick thought. Ooh, that one's trouble. Man, what do we got? 7 minutes? We're really burning the midnight oil here. All right. Check this video.
You know why? Because all the girls love me. Hey. All I need is a beat that's super bumpin'
and they be like,
"Smooth, that one.
What? Can you teach me how to dirty?
You know kill it with fire. Kill this trend.
All I need is a beat that's super bumpin' and they be like, "Smooth."
I mean,
so he
did I give him a 5.3 out of 10.
You're judging his dance?
Yeah.
Especially because there's like no music either, too. You know what I mean? He's just like, "Let me just do a little jig."
So naturally, Amazon, because all the corporate social media accounts need to swoop in and get their greedy little fucking paws on every trend that goes viral, trying to make people think that they're real human beings. The official Amazon account popping and locking while box dropping. And that's got to be, look, if you haven't already lost.
It fits, it sits, you know.
You cringe, you lose. If you haven't already lost that part of it by now, then seeing Amazon's response here really, really just brings it home.
Hello, Amazon drivers. Do you feel underpaid? Well, here's one way to raise your spirits. Just do a jig when you see the sign. You know what to do. We're sending out a company-wide newsletter, and we want your participation.
Just kill me now, man.
This message has been approved by Jeff Bezos.
Of course it has. So one of the journalists that wrote about the story regarding this TikTok trend, she asked Amazon drivers about this trend all the time and was told that when workers see these signs, a lot of them feel forced to dance among other humiliating requests so that customers don't leave bad reviews. And so that's an interesting point of conflict that I want to give to the delivery drivers out there. Like, would you actually feel pressured into doing this out of fear of a bad review? Or is this just something that if you don't want to do, you just say, fuck it, I'm not going to do it, and say that's that? Or if you're into it, if you're into the whole TikTok just dotty bait shit, then maybe that's the way that you choose to approach this as well. So there are a lot of different avenues, a lot of different viewpoints that can be taken here. Obviously, we all know which side I'm on, which is that this trend needs to die in a burning blaze of fire and be sent right down to the inferno hellscape that is hell. And so, but I do want to hear what you guys think about this. So let me know. Leave a comment on the YouTube video or follow at Simulation Radio on everything and let me know what you think about this. So let's close it out today, fellas. Let's do Reach for the Sky.
Reach for the Sky.
Oh, no, not my shit. Somebody do something.
Reach for the Sky.
Sheriff Woody.
I swiped it from Simulation Radio Live, and we are going to do it for the first time today. We have a couple minutes to close out the show, and we go to our random question generator, and I bring this question to you. What is something that you would really like to try again? Now, there's a couple of different avenues that you could take this. Now, obviously, one of the ways that you can take this is to take like an experience that had such an impact on you that you only got to do one time. And I'm sure that it's maybe something that you think about, or it could also be something that you do regularly and have done more than one time that you would just, I just want to do it again just for the fuck of it. So I'm curious as to what you guys' take on this. What's something that you would really like to try again?
We want to hear you guys in the comments, too. What is something that you guys would want to try again?
Dick. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, fantastic show, everybody. It was good being here with you tonight. This is what happens when shenanigans happen. Anyway, thank you all for listening, watching. I love you all. This is what happens when I do the show in a bad mood. Catch you all next week. Bye.
You lose. Good day, sir.